seated. This week, as my wife Kara and I were preparing for an inflow of several other family members, which are probably en route as we speak or maybe knocking on my front door as we're here tonight, there were a number of things that we were trying to put in various places, and you know how it goes if you've done the family holiday shuffle, right? You kind of push stuff in a corner, you cover it with a blanket, or you push the sofa to people don't have any knowledge of what's behind there. You shove it in a closet or a crawl space above the attic, you put it underneath the bed, you know how it goes. Well, the process of doing that little holiday song and dance and shuffle, I came across a picture that I've seen over the years, and at a certain point in time after the passing of my grandma, I was blessed to inherit. And maybe you've seen this picture before too, and I'm curious, by a show of hands, how many of you have seen this painting or this picture before, or maybe a print of it? Yeah. For those who haven't seen it, it's known as, believe it or not, Grace, by a photographer by the name of Eric Enstrom. And he describes the picture like this, and this is happening during the World War I time frame. He said this older gentleman came into his studio, and this gentleman was a kind-hearted, warm gentleman who was going around selling shoe scrapers. And he came in to ask about Eric's services. And as Eric describes it, he says there was just something about this guy, just the demeanor of him. And a little bit later, Eric asked him if he would be willing to pose for the picture you see before you tonight on the screens. And as Eric describes it, he says, it was almost like it was a natural flow for this gentleman, as if this was something he was just always in the habit of doing, was finding his place at the table, and before putting any food or drink into his mouth, taking a moment to give thanks to God, particularly for his grace. A little bit later, Eric, the photographer who captured this in this moment, wrote this. He said, I wanted to take a picture that would show people that even though they had to do without many things because of the war, they still had much to be thankful for. Pretty profound statement, particularly during 1918, World War I. If I could frame it for us tonight like this, I would say this, that Eric, in his interest to capture this moment of gratitude and grace, he has given anybody and everybody a chance to do just this, to focus on what matters most in life, regardless of what's going on, regardless of the season of life, to focus on what matters most. And for Eric, and for this older gentleman, the focus was just this, on the grace of God. Tonight, the Apostle Paul has attempted to do that with us as well, through the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring our focus back to where it needs to be. And maybe for you, you're in that season of life where adjusting your focus is a little bit difficult because of things going on in life. But this word of God comes to you and to me tonight, and it challenges us to keep focus where our focus needs to be. And that's right here. Not on a portrait of an older gentleman or an older woman sitting at a table about to take in their meal, but we're challenged to do just this, to focus on the grace of God for us, that would see God give his one and only son, Jesus Christ, over to pay a debt for you and for me that we could never pay ourselves. Focus. Paul, in his writing to this early group of Philippians in this community, this colony of Philippi, he writes things like this. For example, in verse 8 of chapter 4, and maybe you've heard these before, Paul says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Can you hear the request from Paul tonight to focus? I mean, check out his list once again. Focus on what's true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about that. Focus on that. But let's be honest, sometimes that's hard, right? Sometimes in life that's pretty difficult. This past Sunday, I shared this with the congregation, and I'll share it with you tonight. And if you heard it on Sunday, I apologize. But bear with us. The last several weeks have been very hard for our faith community, particularly as folks have said goodbye to their adult son or their adult daughter because of death. Folks have said goodbye to mom of early 40s, or sister, or daughter, or a spouse of 70 plus years. So sometimes in the midst of life and in the stream of what's going on in my life and your life and lives of others, well, sometimes maybe just trying to shift our focus, it's a little hard, isn't it? Paul says this too in verses 4 and 6. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And here's one of the passages that oftentimes gets requested of me right before a surgery or in a recovery room or in a much, much tougher situation. Paul says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So once again, there's that challenge, there's that request to shift our focus, but let's be honest, sometimes because of what's going on in your life and in my life, that's really hard. And while this is coming out from a gospel-guided heart, maybe sometimes this comes across as an encouragement to focus when we just don't have the strength because of what's been going on at work or what's happening at school or what's happening in a relationship somewhere else. Sometimes, maybe just sometimes, this is a little tricky. But would you believe that Paul is penning this from prison? I know sometimes we read these passages and we think, well, what is this guy going through or what is this woman going through? They have no clue about hard times, right? They have no clue about death. They have no clue about loss. They have no clue about being in a tough, messy, ugly situation that's really dark. What do they know? Would you believe that Paul, in his desire to communicate this to you and to me tonight, is actually writing from a place of house arrest? Now, as I think about that, and maybe as you think about it, once again, it begs the question, how can someone who's under house arrest, who's in this place of confinement, who doesn't have a clear sense of the way out, how can he encourage other people to latch on to a different focus? He tells us. And if you missed it before, and if you missed everything else up until this point, please tune in once again. This is what Paul says in chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. He says, "For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need." And maybe you do too. Maybe for you it's not need of food or need of shelter, but maybe it's need of cash flow. I heard this not long ago from a conversation that came into my office. Well, there's a lot of debt coming in, but there's not enough income to offset. Maybe for you it's in a different area. He says, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him, through Christ, who gives me strength." And what Paul wants you and I to know tonight is this, is it's the amazing grace of God for you and for me that allows our focus to shift to where it needs to be. And tonight, through God's word and very shortly through his gift of Holy Communion, you and I get to experience that grace of God for us that pulls our focus to where it needs to be. Thinking back to this portrait, this painting, Grace, by our friend Eric Enstrom, he talks about this effect, this ripple effect of what happens when the focus shifts and is brought to the grace of God and how that grace of God starts to manifest in somebody else's life. It gets to a point where it starts to spill over and it starts to impact other people. In this little article, in this write-up about this portrait and this painting, there's an account of a person in a nearby city whose life was impacted and changed by this picture. And maybe yours has too. But this is what this gentleman wrote. And he penned it as kind of a prayer in this news article. He said this. He said, "Lord, there may be many homes that are larger than mine, There may be tables groaning with food and drink in abundance. There may be riches and supplies and appointments. There may be conveniences on every hand, and there may be physical assurance that tomorrow will bring still more. But Lord, you have been with me unto this day and supplied my necessary requirements. On that assurance, I rest my belief that you will bless my efforts if I apply them to the best of my ability to carry on. I am content. Amen. For this gentleman, and maybe it is for you, grace does this in your life and in my life. It guides us to a place of gratitude. Grace allows us to stop looking around for what we don't have, and it allows us to focus on what we do have. And what you and I do have, friends, is just this: the riches of God for us in Christ Jesus, the assurance and the promise of a debt paid, of forgiveness that lasts, and the promise of a place that you and I are blessed to go on the count of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because of his death, but also his resurrection. My prayer for you tonight is, just as we heard a moment ago from this individual whose life was impacted by this portrait known as Grace, I pray that the picture of grace we've been given through the scriptures, through the gospels of our Lord Jesus, may result in an outflowing of gratitude in your heart. And I pray that as people see that grace of God in your life, that it would bring them to a place of gratitude as well. May God grant this to you for Jesus' sake. Amen. Like I'm all alone.